Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, an airline and a cruise line are in trouble. The airline has ceased flying and the cruise line's website has expired. We have updates to help keep you out of trouble.
Gwen Duncan is on hand at 3:20 to talk about travel scams, from hotels to just walking down the street. Now, these are some things to be aware of.
The TSA is an important, unavoidable, and sometimes misunderstood part of air travel these days. At 3:35, we're joined by Dale Keller and Sid Hanna from the TSA, who are here to answer your questions and make airport security a little easier to understand.
It's a little after 3 o'clock in Sacramento, and whether you are out battling the traffic and weather or listening at home, welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise. To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Well, for heaven's sakes, look what you ran across on your radio where you weren't looking for it. I don't know. We are the Travel Guys here every...
What was that supposed to be?
I don't know. We are here every Sunday afternoon from 3 to 4, have been for years. You can find us and follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm Tom Romano. He's Mark Hoffman. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, did you have a good Thanksgiving holiday and
I
such?
I did. I took... myself and one of my Sports Leisure staff, Donnie Anderson, we took 40 people up to the National Hotel in Jackson for Thanksgiving dinner. We'd done that last year, but this year we spent the night at the hotel, and we kind of overflowed it, so some folks had to stay down the street at the Holiday Inn, but had a wonderful dinner. The food there, Chuck, the chef at the National Hotel, really fixes a Thanksgiving dinner that if you want a dinner that's like what you used to get at grandma's house on Thanksgiving, then not a lot of fancy accoutrements, just turkey and gravy and dressing and, yams with candied pecans on top and mashed potatoes and just all of the stuff. They had prime rib also for the non-turkey eaters.
There you go.
And some nice salads and stuff, but pumpkin pie with real whipped cream, not stuff that, you know, kind of sort of is almost whipped cream, but actual whipped cream.
Now, did they have cranberry jelly or cranberry sauce?
I'm not a cranberry sauce guy, but from what it looked like there, it might have even been homemade cranberry sauce.
Well,
so it's really, that's 2 years in a row I've been up there for Thanksgiving dinner, and we don't invade for Christmas, so the reservations are probably open, but a very reasonable price, and you could go up and spend the night. The National Hotel has really been, Stan Lukowitz, who owns the hotel, has put a tremendous amount of money into it, and I asked Stan last week, I said, have you made any money on the hotel yet? And he said no, and probably won't ever, but he said it's fun. So, you know, to own an old historic hotel, and then the folks went out in the shops and stuff. There is a great place in Jackson. A man and his wife have recreated a Sherlock Holmes sort of place inside an old building. We're going to have to get them on the air to talk about this because it's really, it's in an old building in downtown Jackson. There's a great bookstore, maybe one of the greatest old bookstores I've ever seen on the ground floor.
Well, what is a Sherlock Holmes place
like? They have created eight shops, actual shops that look like Baker Street. They've recreated Holmes's office, like in incredible detail, on upstairs in this building. I mean, you would never guess from the outside that this was housed inside, but it's an incredible find and a real treasure.
Is it like a tour, a place where you go and take a tour?
You can go and you can shop there if you wish. And because all the eight little stores have things in them that you can buy, and they're all replicas of old English, and and with the bookstore downstairs, I can't imagine you going there and spending less than 2 or 3 hours. You'd probably have to come up for air at some point.
Well, amazing. You just stumbled across that.
We did. The folks from the Sherlock Holmes place came down to see us last year when we were having Thanksgiving dinner, and mentioned that they could maybe do something fun for us, and they indeed did. So we had a really nice outing, a great dinner, and thanks to all of the Sports Leisure travelers who came along with us for Thanksgiving up at the National Hotel. Maybe someone who's listening will join us there next year. I'm sure we'll go back.
Well, that's awesome. Well, at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the latest travel news. Mark, what you got? I know we've got some goodies today.
In the headlines, we're talking about two companies that really have come upon hard ways. The first one is Island Air in Hawaii. They actually ceased operations a couple of weeks ago. So if you've purchased an airline ticket, a connecting ticket, a lot of United Airlines flights use this smaller kind of commuter carrier other than Hawaiian Air in Hawaii to move their customers around. So just go, if you're planning on going to Hawaii and you have booked an inter-island flight, go look at your itinerary, and if it says Island Air, then you've got an issue. They're not flying anymore, and you've got to find another way to get around. It probably will be Hawaiian, because for right now, it's kind of back to being a one-airline market again. Hawaiian Island had kind of been a small competitor there.
Well, you know, for a lot of years, it was Hawaiian and Aloha.
Aloha, absolutely.
And Aloha went away, and I'm guessing this Island Air was kind of sort of taking
their place, and what happened was they bought some bigger planes just about 6 months ago, and apparently didn't have any way to pay for them. So while their business was actually getting better and they were cash flow positive, which if you're a business person, you know that's kind of critical, the airline is shut down and they're liquidating, so it doesn't look like that they will be back in any way, shape, or form. However, there is increasing rumors afloat that Southwest Airlines is not only going to go to Hawaii, but that they may be interested in the inter-island hops because that's kind of what they do anyway,
right?
Is point-to-point. And so,
I think that would be a lucrative little business if you did it, right?
I don't know anything about the numbers, but it certainly could be interesting. All right, the other company we want to tell folks about is actually a cruise line. This is a small river cruise line that's based in New Orleans. They've been in business a couple of years. It's called French America Line. I have tried to contact these people several times, and they appear to still have an office that is open, but they don't have a cruise schedule published anywhere. And if you go to you try to contact their website, you'll get a notice that says their website is expired. So I will just suggest to you that this is not a good thing. French America Line, there are several different river cruisers in the country, so don't panic just because you heard something on the radio. This is a small line, French America. And if that's where you're booked, then I will suggest to you that you need to look into what's happened to your money and your cruise. And if you haven't booked and that's on your list, why, then you probably need to scratch it off. No reason to get into a situation where you have to go through all kinds of credit card chargebacks and things like that. Did you see where Uber paid off some hackers that got information on 57 million of us?
Yes, you know, but go ahead and read further.
They apparently knew about this for over a year. They've been hiding this, and they paid $100,000 to hackers who stole personal details of 50 million customers and 7 million drivers to delete the data and keep quiet about the hack. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're not the first. This whole corporate ransom and stuff like that from the internet is popping up all over, but it seems like Uber can't get out of their own way.
There you go. You know, I did read further on that in regards to, because generally the thing that you're most concerned about is your credit card number. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, this hack did not get access to riders' card numbers.
No, it had some personal details, but apparently they didn't get to the credit information. So maybe that was why Uber felt that it wasn't important to share that information. We have a great website at travelguysradio.com. You probably have heard us mention it before, but I want to call your attention to it today because we've put a couple of things up there that I think are kind of cool that you really can't go over on the radio. One is a list of the very best vegan restaurants in the United States. So if you are a vegan traveler, that might be something that you would be interested in. TravelGuysRadio.com. The other one is a Southwest flight attendant who has taken the safety demonstration to a whole new level. And
I always love these.
It really,
those are always fun.
It really is. It's 3 minutes of your life that you'll be happy that you gave away. So go to travelguysradio.com and you can see that information there. So let's see. What else do we have here? 44 pounds of marijuana found at the Nashville airport. This is kind of funny, actually. Somebody put 44 pounds of weed in a bag. The passenger on the other end didn't pick it up. So the airline, of course, you know, you don't pick up the bag. Why, then they're going to open it to see if they can figure out who it belongs to. And so they open it up and it's full of, And so the next day, the passenger comes in to pick up his bag and he was arrested without incident, apparently. 44 pounds of marijuana in the Nashville airport. It's
still illegal, I might point out.
Earlier this year, they point out here at Travel Pulse, who sent me this release, that a Delta flight bound for Beijing was forced to return to Seattle after a passenger displayed aggressive behavior, which he blamed on edible marijuana. And the Nashville airport has had its share of unusual incidences this year. In August, I didn't hear about this one, sewage water from the women's toilet sprayed baggage of about 380 travelers at the facility. And last year, the airport was forced to deal with a naked man who entered the facility fully disrobed and lined up to purchase a ticket. So,
which one of those would disturb you the most? The toilet water on my luggage, I think,
You think so?
I'm okay with a naked guy run by, but toilet water on my luggage, you can keep the luggage. Thank you very much.
How would you know if you were one of the 380 people whose luggage got sprayed? Okay, quickly here. The FTC is investigating TripAdvisor's business practices. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, about them allowing or not allowing people to post things that may not have been particularly positive about properties. In particular, a lady who was posting about a sexual molestation that occurred at one of the properties, and they took it down. So the FTC is stepping in now to see if TripAdvisor is handling all of this properly. I'm sure we will hear more on that. Spirit Airlines is turning to Disney for a service upgrade. They're hiring the Disney people to try to teach their employees how to be a little nicer to people. I'm going to suggest it's the business model of the airline, not the employees, that are the problem. And Delta Airlines has a great sale going on right now. For a few more days, you can get cross-country trips for that usually are $25,000 to $50,000 for as little as 11,000 miles if you're flying in the off season of January. So that's if you're a Delta frequent flyer. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Again, follow along at travelguysradio.com. Coming up next, Gwen Duncan joins us. We're going to talk travel scams. You're going to find this extremely interesting. That's next. Yes, it's Sunday afternoon, and if you're tuned in, it is the Travel Guys here on KFBK, Mark and Tom. Mark, what do we got?
Well, here to make you a smarter traveler, of course, and Gwen Duncan has done a little research on travel scams, things that can go bump in the night or bump on the street, and actually some of these things are things that could happen to you even if you weren't traveling on a street in Sacramento. But Gwen has done some good research and I think come up with some things that will help make you a smarter traveler. Let me start with a quick one that's just come up in the last couple of weeks. It's not new, but it's come up here actually in Sacramento. You check into a hotel, you get the phone rings a few minutes after you check in or hour after you check in, and the person on the other end says, there's been a problem with your credit card and it didn't go through. And could you just repeat back the numbers of your credit card to me? This is the front desk calling. And many people think there's no problem, but what has happened here is someone has called the hotel. They've randomly asked for a room number. The hotel, which should have a policy of not putting people through to your room without getting your name, in this case, it's probably a hotel that doesn't have quite as tight a security. They put the person through and the person says, hi, this is Joe from the front desk and we need to get your credit card. And so you give Joe your credit card number and your expiration and stuff. And of course, Joe doesn't work for the hotel or the front desk.
Right. And they start with, so I can get the spelling of your name right. Could you repeat it for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they might not even have your name.
If someone calls you in a hotel and says, we've got some kind of an issue with your credit card or something like that, just say to them, that's not a problem. I'll be right down to the front desk and we'll take care of it.
That's good.
So there's one. Gwen, you've got some other ones here. Oh, what do you got?
I got so many. Some of them were from personal experience. But let's get a couple examples.
Okay.
you find a wallet that's laying on the ground and it looks like there's money in it, and okay. you go to pick it up and somebody comes over and says, well, they'll do a couple different ways. They'll say, they want you to touch it. That's the thing. And then they'll just say, well, that's my wallet or whatever. And you've already got the fingerprints, and they'll say, you give me so much money or I'm going to turn you into the police for theft. They'll try that. Some of them will go through and they'll pretend like they're the another tourist. And they'll say, well, I tell you what, the people are long gone. Let's split the money. Mm-hmm. And then they're an accomplice, actually. So then
so
two or three.
You open the wallet. There's $200. You guys split it. That person takes off.
Then all of a sudden, yeah, they take off. And the next thing you know, three or four guys come and they just say, hey, you have my wallet. You took some money out. You know, show me that. You know, that you don't have
money. So now you've got to replace the money.
You have to replace that money.
The other person took, and the other person is in cahoots with them.
Yes. A lot of this is the cahoots thing. You know, and then some people, I don't know if you've ever done the lockers, and you go to put your clothes in a locker. Ron,
sure.
I used to do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd pay so much, and you can get your key out.
Right.
Well, you got the friendly tourists that'll stand there, and they'll say, oh, I'm just leaving. You know, they're waiting for somebody that looks kind of easy target.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, oh, listen, I was just leaving. You can use mine. And, you know, so they'll show them how to use the key, and they're using the right key, and then they switch it for the wrong key. The people put their stuff in, they're given the key, and then they're off. They come back, and their stuff isn't no longer in there.
Because the other person
has the key.
Ah.
So that's just one other thing. Now, Ron and I've had some incidences you learn by experience, and we used to train people on what to do when that happens. And you're going to find a lot of bad things at, like, the rail stations, airports for sure, at the Coliseum.
Do you find these things are more prevalent in foreign countries?
Yes. But it could happen anywhere.
Uh-huh.
It could happen anywhere. I mean, we were in San Francisco, and we were going to take a trolley car. We're going to buy a ticket, and this guy says, here, I've got this ticket. I paid this much for it. I'll do it for half price. You get it. I'm thinking, oh, well, this is nice.
You know, it just strikes me that if somebody offers you something on the street,
if it's too good to be true,
then it probably is. If it seems like it's too good to be true,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably too good to be true. I mean, you have to be... You have to use common sense. And of course, what these people play off of is getting you in a situation where your wits are not completely about you. You don't have complete common sense. And now you're willing to do something that you wouldn't have done normally.
Right. You know, like, for instance, you see somebody, it's a setup. Somebody drops a wallet and then walks forward. And you look at it and you're sitting there with all your luggage. And you look over and you think, oh, that poor guy dropped his wallet. So you run over, pick it up, and you run after him. You give him his wallet.
Mm-hmm.
You go back, and your luggage is all gone. Everything's gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you should always, but that's common sense. But they're playing on your being a good guy or mm-hmm. a fellow tourist or
sure.
whatever. But there are so many things.
You've got to be mean and nasty, Tom, when you're traveling. It's
yeah.
what Gwen's saying. You can't be a good Samaritan all the time.
You've got to be kind of prepared. But to be prepared for interesting reading, I would recommend that you go to two different websites.
Okay.
One of them is called scamdetector.com. I went on both of these websites,
okay.
and it's interesting.
And don't worry about writing this down, because we'll have the travelguysradio.com. You can find these. So scamdetector is one. What was the other one?
And howsafeismytrip.com.
Ah,
and
okay.
they've got about 1,000 fraudulent things and
so
travel
scams. So
we'll
put those two websites at travelguysradio.com. So if you're interested in trying to avoid just common scams.
It's interesting.
Sometimes just knowing what these are might help you recognize, or you might be standing watching it happen to someone else. This is a good place to mention that when you're traveling overseas, the best thing that you can do for yourself, register yourself
yes.
in the STEP program.
Mm-hmm.
It's at travel.gov. And it's STEP, the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. Tell your government when you're going to be out of the country and where you will be, so that if there is any kind of disaster, they can come and find you.
That's right. And don't take a lot of cash with you. Don't take your most expensive jewelry with you. Hide your belongings under your clothing. And don't take a purse. I mean, I could give you a whole list of things.
You know, in New York City, we often tell people, Tom, just little quick things. Don't put your wallet in your back pocket. Most
oh, yeah.
men these days carry their wallet in their front pocket, just because it'll ruin your back if you don't. But put your wallet in your front pocket. The other thing is, for ladies, if you're in a large city, if you've got a strap on your purse, put the strap crosswise across your shoulder rather than just hanging straight down, because that makes you a target. The thing that you want to do is, when you're traveling, is don't make yourself the easy mark. if you're not the target, well, if you're not the target, if somebody's standing there waiting for a target, then you don't want to be that person.
That's right.
Another thing these days, people with their backpacks, it's really easy to get into those pockets in a crowded area to unzip, grab things out, and zip back up. Takes like 4 seconds.
We've taken groups with us, and they've had that kind of stuff. But always know that the scams that happen in the popular locales, which is where you're going to find most of the tourists,
right,
they're working as accomplices, and there's always two or three people working together.
Thank you, Gwen Duncan, making us a smarter traveler.
Good
you can
stuff.
Find a link to Gwen's website at travelguysradio.com, along with the sites that we were talking about.
Mark, have you ever been scammed?
Have I ever been scammed? No, yeah. But I've watched it happen a couple of times.
Really?
I watched in an elevator in New York City. People get into the elevator. Lady's purse was open. Guy got into the elevator, grabbed her wallet out of the purse, stepped out of the elevator. And literally before you could say, I watched it happen. And before I could say something,
wow,
the elevator door was closed and the guy was gone. And one of the things that Gwen talks about, the scam of dropping the wallet on the street, I watched that happen one day in Amsterdam, where a guy dropped his wallet and then you pick it up. And they're like, well, what are you doing with my, you know, with my wallet type thing and stuff like that. So these things do happen. And these folks are very organized when they do this stuff. So Gwen is right. But you know what, Tom, that strikes me. It's a lot of this has to do with the cell phone thing. If you're walking around in a foreign country, looking at your cell phone, paying no attention to what's going on around you, the people who are looking for an easy mark, you've got a big star above your head.
Well, they got a lot of people with a lot of stars because, you know, half people at any given time are doing that.
I got a little thing here. We got just a minute I wanted to mention. This has to do with airport transportation. Folks, you know, you've got Uber and you've got Super Shuttle and there are lots of choices. A lot of people in the Davis area for many years have used a company called Davis Airporter to get to the airport. And I hate to give people a bad time on the radio. So let's just say this. You can now use Super Shuttle to go from Davis. For a long time, Davis had kind of, Airporter had kind of an exclusive. And sometimes their service is a little bit lacking. So for those of you who live in Davis, you have many more choices to get to the airport than you used to have. I'll just kind of sort of leave it at that.
All right.
Go ahead.
I have nothing. I do have this.
Yes.
Dale Keller and Sid Hanna with the TSA are sitting right across from me here, which means they're sitting right across from you as well.
They look like reasonably normal people. They don't look, you know, like horrible people. They don't have
surprised.
Big guns
you told
or
me you
armor.
Had a couple of TSA guys coming, and now this isn't at all what I expected.
Yeah, well, when we come back after the news, we're going to talk to Dale and Sid, and we're going to try to demystify security in Sacramento. We've got some questions that some of you posed on our website that we can ask them, get you some answers, and maybe if you're traveling for the holidays, make it a little bit easier for you to get through Sacramento Airport.
All right, you going any place for the holidays?
I am for the Christmas holiday. I'm going to be home for about the first time in 100,000 years.
Amazing. We are the Travel Guys, back with our TSA guests here right after the news next on News Radio 1530 KFBK. It's that Horse with No Name song.
Yeah, it's ironic it's talking about the first part of the journey because that's kind of sort of what we're going to talk about.
Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And here we are. We've a special guest in the studio. Doesn't happen too often, but
I have one little tiny thing before we go on.
Yes.
We told folks about the cute Southwest security demonstration, and then I went and looked on the website, and it wasn't there.
I was looking,
but
too.
It's there now.
Oh, good.
So if you went
and
looked
for,
it's just a Southwest, you know, the flight attendants to Southwest that try to make travel a little bit less obnoxious and do a pretty good job of it. And this guy has done a great job with a safety demonstration. Dare I say, if you see this, you will remember everything about a safety demonstration that you probably never wanted to remember anyways.
You know,
TravelGuysRadio.com.
I sometimes think that Southwest must have a little internal contest amongst the different flight attendants.
They should.
Because every so often there is just some just so creative and interesting and a lot of fun. Yeah, anyway, okay.
Let's tell our listeners who these gentlemen in the background are here so they cannot be in the background anymore. Across from us here, we have Dale Keller and Sid Hanna, who both work with TSA at the Sacramento airport. They both have extremely fancy titles that I'll let them give to you. But they are the gentlemen who, by and large, are responsible for making sure that you get through security in Sacramento and that everything goes well and that flights leave on time and that life is good. Gentlemen, welcome to the Travel Guys, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice of you to come in on Sunday afternoon. Not everybody is always willing to give up their time to be live, so it's we appreciate it. Because otherwise we're sitting here, you know, looking out the window at, you know, pretty much the traffic. So you guys, this is a busy time at the airport for TSA. Sid, you mentioned you were there this morning at 5 o'clock. So let me ask, how has the Thanksgiving weekend gone so far at Sacramento Metro Airport?
My opinion, it went great. Terminal B was awesome. I mean, we were really busy with Southwest flights, but the wait time at the checkpoints were great. Most passengers were very surprised, and we like that. That's what we like. Terminal A, on the other hand, was a little busy. That's not due to anything different. It's just the fact that the facility is smaller and doesn't have enough passengers.
And by a little busy, we're kind of talking about that morning rush hour, aren't we?
It's just the, we say the 4:30 to about 6:30. That 2-hour block in the morning, we have a lot of flights going out at the same time, and that adds up to that.
If you can get to the airport and you're going through security and you're in Terminal A, which is Delta, American, United,
That's it.
And then if you get through security before 4:45 or so, life is going to be a lot simpler for you than if you get there. Some folks like to cut things really tight, and then they get there and they find out that, God, the security line's 20 minutes long, and they're screwed.
Yeah.
And what we try to convince them here is that, you know, if you just would add that 20 minutes in, now there's some lovely food facilities on the other side of security. You could go and, heaven forbid, have breakfast, because you're not going to get that on the airplane.
Totally agree. You're missing out on the coffee and all the good food on the other side when all you're doing is running to your flight. But the reason why we tell people to show up 2 hours is not just because of the security checkpoint. It's all the whole package. It's showing up early, finding a parking spot. This is a busy, busy time. So most of the parking lots are going fill up quickly. Then you go to overflow, and then you got to wait for a bus to pick you up, which you're adding time. Ticket counter, check in your bags, that's an additional time. So you're leaving just a small portion for the checkpoint, and then you show up 20 minutes going, I got to catch my flight. And the line's about 30 or 35 or even 40. You're not leaving yourself time.
And it's amazing. I mean, we all like to be civil at the airport. It's amazing how little sympathy the other travelers have for somebody who says, you know, can I cut in front of you? My flight's leaving, you know, in 30 minutes. And you're kind of like, you know, dude, why don't you just get here in enough time so that you didn't have to? There's so many things, as you mentioned, at the airport that cannot go right. I'm a very experienced traveler. The other day I go out to catch a flight at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm usually at the airport at 3:45 in the morning. The parking situation at 2 o'clock is a lot different than the parking situation at 3:45.
Correct.
So now I have to park 5 minutes from the terminal in the paved lot, and I've got to walk in. And so it took me a few extra minutes to find a parking spot. It takes me a few extra minutes to walk in, and guess what? I had cut it fairly close. So now I'm stressing out about getting on the airplane. I just thought it was kind of comical that
That's unusual for the travel guy. But, he's always bragging about...
But
it happens.
You're what we call the normal business traveler. Knows exactly where to park, exactly where to walk, and how to get there. But if you're doing this once a year, here and there, everything is new to you. So it's always best to be there 2 hours early, we say, just to make sure that if you miss that bus, the second bus comes in 10 minutes later, whatever the situation is, you know, you have plenty of time to get there.
Yeah, you get there, the lot that you plan to park in is full. Now you've got to make another circle of the airport, and that's going to take you an extra 10 minutes. And guess what? The last time that you flew a few years ago, you didn't have the little one in the stroller that you have with you now.
Right, with that being said, Dale, we got a lot of people flying with kids this time of the year. For those that are listening that either have children or grandchildren, give them a couple of tips in regards to taking them through the TSA, or for that matter, the whole process a little easier.
Well, the one thing nice is traveling with children under 12 are what we refer to as expedited. So they get similar treatment as the TSA pre-check traveler would have, or passengers who are over 75. So, you know, they get to go through the walkthrough metal detector, they can keep their shoes on, things like that. So it's just a little bit faster when they're going through. What I see that really throws off a lot of parents is when they come in and they have the super deluxe stroller. you know, and they've never folded it up before.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen these people on the airplanes.
Mm-hmm, yes, yeah. And so they spend about 5 minutes trying to fold it up, getting frustrated. And, of course, there's always stress at the checkpoint, you know, because you have people behind you, people in front of you. It's loud. And then, of course, the child will start screaming or yelling if it's a toddler. And then so they're trying to get it folded up and pushed through. And, you know, it's a bit stressful for them. So, again, you know, if they can find a way to actually go through that before they get there, it's great, or be familiar with the stroller. But the other thing, too, is traveling with children is typically very easy, but there's also a lot of families have special needs children, things like that. I'm familiar with that with my son, but we also have programs that can assist and help in those situations, too. We have a PSS, a passenger support specialist. Thank you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And we also have a 1-800 number, TSA Cares. And basically what they do is if you call in ahead of time, they'll alert us, and then we'll have somebody out there to give you a hand coming through.
Wow, so you know, I didn't even think about that, how hard it would be to travel with kids anyway. But if you had a child that in some ways had some special need, or even an adult that you were traveling with that had some special need, mm-hmm. that now you've got that extra layer of uncertainty as you're going through the security thing and trying to make sure that everybody does what you need them to do, mm-hmm. Without causing any commotion that delays the other people that are behind them. Mm-hmm. So that's really good to know. So you actually have a number that folks can call if they have a special situation so that they can maybe find out a little bit about what awaits them or what options might be available to them before they get to the airport.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all on the, most people are net-based or web-based. So they go to tsa.gov and the information there, TSA Cares. They can call our local number, the coordination center. A lot of people do that. It depends on what they're comfortable with. Some will email, some will call. And again, our crew is phenomenal. Every officer out there almost looks forward to this, and they're out there to help out and do what's necessary to get the families through and the individuals through.
Wow. We're talking with Sid Hanna and Dale Keller. They are with TSA here in Sacramento. And we're just talking about, we're answering some of the questions that you sent in online at travelguysradio.com and just kind of generally trying to help you be a smarter traveler. Why don't we take a little bit of a break here and come back, and we'll talk to Sid and Dale. And if you have a specific question that you would like to ask one of these TSA gentlemen, you can give us a call at 921-1530 or 800-821-1530, and we'll try to get you on the air. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be right back.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Mark and Son, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Special guest in studio today, Dale Keller and Sid Hanna with the TSA.
If you have a question for them, 921-1530 or 800-821-1530, and we will try to get you on the air. We have some questions from folks who sent them into travelguysradio.com to Dale and Sid. So let me ask on our listeners' behalf some of these. Longer lines. We were talking about this before the break. It's been in the newspaper. It was in the paper that you guys don't have enough security lanes at Terminal A, basically, to get people through during the rush hour. At the airport, people have announced that they are going to do some construction and create some more security lanes for you there. So what's the update on, you gave me kind of the holiday update on longer lines, but in general, if people are heading out to the airport, is it an uncertain situation? Depends.
As far as the lines in the morning, yeah, it's a daily thing, and mm-hmm. it will remain. The airport is looking into construction right now, expanding, looking up to 7 lanes right now at Terminal A.
And there are 5 currently.
There's only five. Yes. So we have 2 pre-check lanes, and then 3 standard lanes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So if you're a pre-check passenger, we're pushing everybody to go to pre-check. Actually, that's pretty much what I wanted to get pre-check out there for everybody, because that's very critical.
Well, and having an office at the airport now is much better, although you don't hear people talk about it too much. But literally, if you got out to the airport early and got checked in and found yourself with too much time on your hands, there is the TSA offices in Terminal A, is it?
Or
is
Terminal B?
B downstairs by baggage claim.
By baggage claim. So if you're flying Southwest, Alaska, Hawaiian. Our two international carriers, why then you're going to already be in that terminal. But if you, like I said, applying for TSA is really quite simple.
It's very simple.
You fill out, is it still filling out an online application and then going in for an interview?
And that's the part that you can do at the airport, right?
And you can schedule the interview. You hypothetically could schedule that if the office were open, you could schedule for a time when you were going to be at the airport anyway.
Right. Remind our listeners again what they need to bring for a check qualification, like a birth certificate.
TSA pre-check. Birth certificate, state issued driver's license or identification. I believe Social Security card. I believe it's kind of unique. It's a TSA program, but it is ran by a contractor.
It's really easy. I've been through it. It's a 10-minute. I mean, I was there 15 minutes the whole time, in and out. Did they fingerprint me? I don't even remember if they did it or not. But anyways, the point is, it's $85, I think, for 5 years. If you travel with any kind of frequency, it's something that you really should consider. So back to what we were originally talking about, and that is, if your flight is departing between 6 o'clock and 7:30, 8 o'clock, right? Yep. You need to be at the airport. You need to know that that's rush hour and that's crunch time, and that you're likely going to run into lines. And it's amazing how much difference, especially in Terminal A, where the legacy carriers are, United and Delta and American. It's amazing how much difference 15 minutes makes.
If you get there at
4:30 in the morning, you will zoom through security.
No,
if you get there at 4:45, you will probably get through fairly timely fashion. If you get there at 4:50 or 4:55, you could find yourself in a 20-minute line.
Easily.
Because everybody comes at the exact same minute.
I would say more of a 30-minute.
Yeah. because we're downstairs processing our groups at United, and we'll look upstairs, and our folks are all done, and we'll say, okay, go on up. Don't get your Starbucks. Go on up and go through security. Get your coffee on the other side. Because it's 4:30 and you can see. And by the time you look up there, 4:45, 4:50, they're lined up back down the street. All right. Computers. People, there seems to be some confusion on computers. I've run into this myself. Computers in or out of your bag?
Standard passenger, non-TSA pre-check, out. And actually, any personal electronic device larger than a cell phone needs to be out.
So iPad,
Kindle,
Surface,
anything.
Kindles, anything like that you're taking out and putting
Xbox,
into the bin.
Xbox, PlayStations, all that out.
Yeah. Okay, which is important because we have a lot of families and stuff traveling now. And am I hearing this is one of the things that's kind of slowing down the lines a little bit?
It is. There's other stuff. We try to tell passengers, we look at what the normal is. And right now, sometimes it's food. Everybody's packing food. So sometimes we tell them, hey, if it's reachable and you can get to it right away, pull the food out, put it to the side. That helps the process go.
I came back from Mackinac Island in Michigan a couple of months ago, and fudge is a big selling thing on Mackinac Island.
Is that right? And guys, do you find that
fudge is
one
something
of those
that your machines don't see through very well? So if you've got 2 pounds of fudge in your bag.
Well, it's not about seeing through. It's about the clutter that it creates, and then it puts layers on the screen for us, and so we have to double check. So there's certain protocol that if you see certain layers, we have to double check. So, of course, we can't reveal a lot of the SOP, but we can say that it does help the officers when they don't have all that clutter and then all that fudge or all that extra food items to add to the mix.
Excellent. We have a caller on the line who has a question. Nancy from Sacramento is headed to Costa Rica, and she's got a question for you guys. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi. Yes, I'm 75. The lady I'm traveling with is 78. How do we go about getting a pre-board pass?
A pre-check?
Right.
Okay. We just covered that, but we're going to do it again for you because we might have others that have just tuned in.
So are you talking about pre-check as in getting through the checkpoint through the pre-check lanes, or just a pass to go with them upstairs to the gate?
No, just getting to the security lanes.
Okay, so that's the pre-check.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy. You can go.
Shall we tell her there's a reasonably decent chance, because of her age, she might luck out and get assigned pre-check? It's a possibility.
There is
a
possibility. Yes,
it tends to happen more often with the. I travel with a lot of mature travelers, and they tend to get lucky. So that could happen.
Yes,
that could happen. But if it doesn't happen, or is there anything that she can do to expedite the situation?
Well, being over 75, you're going to be an expedited passenger anyway. So, and when you arrive at the checkpoint, going through the officer will, you know, you'll get different instructions than what the normal passenger will. It'll be much easier for you. Now, that's in the checkpoint proper. Of course, if it is during a peak time, there's a large wait time, and you don't have the TSA pre-check, you will be in the standard line. So you don't get ahead of the line privileges when you're waiting, but when you're actually processing.
Nancy, what time does your flight depart in the morning?
Oh, a little bit after 6.
Okay, so you're in that.
There at 4.
Yeah, and are you flying, you're not on Southwest, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're going to be in Terminal A, so you are in the time that we're talking about, that rush hour. So it really would be important for you to try to get there a couple of hours before your flight departs.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
All right, I just didn't know if there was some way of formalizing that procedure.
Yeah, probably unless you actually get a pre-check, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for you for one flight, but I think that's one option. But yes, the other thing that she could do is go to TSA, is make that phone call to TSA
absolutely.
Cares
mm-hmm.
And see there. But make sure, Nancy, when you get to the airport and you get to the front of the security line, that you let whomever is there directing the traffic know that you're 75, because that's going to make a big difference in how you are treated. So if the person that checks your ID doesn't mention it, then you should mention it to the first TSA officer that you see that you're 75, and that way they will help you with the expedited
screening.
Yeah,
guys, go ahead and remind folks that there's a certain age, and if you're above that there are fewer requirements for you as you go through the line. What are they?
Correct. It's over 75,
mm-hmm.
Under 12, and then military and flight crew in uniform.
Right, and then you don't have to take off your, what is it, your coat?
Take off your shoes, right. You can go through, instead of waiting for the long line for the advanced image, the mm-hmm. AIT as we call it, you just go through the walkthrough metal detector. It's much faster. Yeah, it's an expedited process.
Got it. What's, either one of you can answer this. You have the ear of our audience here, and you can make them smarter travelers going through the TSA lines. You know, there's got to be two or three things that people always seem to mess up. You know, whatever it is, they don't get their license out soon enough. What is it that the top three mistakes that travelers commonly make approaching the TSA lines?
You know, the one I see a lot is they don't empty their pockets. You know, they think they pull everything out, but the keys are in, the cell phones are still in the pocket. Something, and if it's through a walkthrough metal detector, even a gum wrapper, believe it or not. But what that does is they go through, they get a pat down or a small, you know, a search of that area where they have an alarm or an anomaly, and it slows them way down, and it slows down everything just because they forgot to give the double pat on the pockets to make sure everything's empty.
Got it. So check those pockets.
Check the pockets.
The other one is ID. If you lose your ID or can't find your ID, it takes a long time for us to process you, and it holds up at least two of our employees to the side working through a phone call trying to do verification of who you are. So please, anything that you can bring to the airport that has verification with you if you lost your ID, please bring that with you because that helps us. A U.S. passport, anything of that could help us. So that's my.
You've lost your driver's license. The passport would be your first substitution because that's a government-issued document, and that's going to zip you right through. A lot of people use their passport regularly to go through TSA anyway. I mean, I see that is pretty common. So if you know that you've lost your ID before you go to the airport, is there a way to call somebody? But it really doesn't matter, right? You're just going to take what you have that can prove your place of residency?
Correct. And there will be a series of. We'll get you on the line. There'll be a series of questions that you have to answer, similar to like when you apply for a credit card and they say, out of all these locations, where did you live before? Or
your mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
Right?
So they verify, but it does take a while. So that's one of the ones that holds up our line for us.
All right, guys, before I let you get away, I need to add, we've got one more question here that I need to ask you about because this comes up almost every time we ask people to talk about TSA situations. So what happens if they find your stash?
So I'll make it very simple because it, you know, this is a very, it can go different directions. At the end of the day, we're a federal checkpoint.
Okay.
So you can't bring marijuana through a federal checkpoint. If we come across marijuana through our normal course of duty, we have to notify law enforcement. That's where we leave it. we don't take it. We don't do anything. We report it to law enforcement. Law enforcement reports on the scene. It's up to them to make the decision.
And then obviously that depends on where you are and all of the everything else. So what you're saying is that if you find it, then it's your duty to report it.
Correct. And that's for checkpoint and baggage, not just checkpoint. If we find it in baggage through our system, we will report.
Did you hear us with the guy with the 44 pounds of that was sent from Seattle to... Does that happen?
It happens.
Okay.
It happens.
Actually, quite a bit.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
It happens. And so you guys are... So the reality is that, you know, you're it's a state law. Just because it's legal in the state, you're passing through a federal checkpoint.
Correct.
You need to keep in mind the distinctive difference between those two things. Okay, that's good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Is there anything that we haven't missed here? We've got just a tiny bit of time.
The only thing I really think is, and I think Sid will share this, is that kind of a shout out to our employees, the officers out there working. You know, they work crazy hours. It's not fun. And they're dealing with all sorts of people. Some people happy flying out. Some people not happy.
I go through the airport all the time in Sacramento. I have gone through TSA hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And I have found that if you just smile and you're pleasant and polite, it's life is a lot simpler for everybody. Thank you, gentlemen, both of you, for coming in on a Sunday and giving our listeners all of this information. I cannot tell you how much we appreciate this. So thank you very much, and I hope that you'll be back again.
Yeah, we hope so, too. Thank you so much.
All right, it's time for us to go. Thomas, I'll just say dance like nobody's watching.
And I'll say, by golly, we'll see you next time right here on The Travel Guys. You stay safe, my friends, and we'll see you.